A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care-to-be-great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody. Welcome on into a massive day of sports news right here locally. The Utah Jazz reportedly trading Rudy Gobert to the Minnesota Timberwolves for four first-round picks and a whole host of names that include Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, Jared Vanderbilt, Leandro Bolmaro. I know, Scott, you've been doing a lot of homework on Bolmaro.
No, a former first-round pick.
Hey, why not?
Yeah.
Walker Kessler also involved in that trade, and that's a big one because he was this year's 21st pick overall in the first round for the Minnesota Timberwolves. That essentially works out to be six first-round picks for the Utah Jazz after everything's said and done. Joining us on the program right now, he, of course, you can hear him on the pre-half and post on the Utah Jazz Radio Network, Coach Tim Lacombe on the horn. Massive day for Jazz fans, Coach. Your initial reaction right off the bat, we haven't been able to talk to you since, so your feelings on Rudy headed out of town if it becomes totally official?
Well, obviously, a legacy player, a guy that, you know, I didn't really have the level of understanding of what he did for a game, watching him casually, you know, like while I was coaching, not being able to really dig into the detail, but the last couple of years being able to watch, you know, the way that he controls the floor defensively, you know, his skill set is so unique. And the thing that I loved about him is he just kept getting better, you know, year after year. There were challenges, but he kind of fought through those. So I think the first thing I want to, you know, shout out is that, you know, Rudy has been everything you'd want, you know, in a, you know, guy in your community and on your team. And certainly it's a, you know, it's a sad day that way. But I also believe that the Jazz, you know, based on, you know, where things were, they had a really nice house at the end of a cul-de-sac with no easement. And there was not a whole lot of things they could do, you know, to upgrade. And unfortunately, you know, the veteran team they had, it just kind of got old on them pretty quick. And so with draft pick inflexibility and not a whole lot of, you know, of value, I think this is, you know, one of the things they had to look at. But I don't think anybody imagined to get this many first round picks. Like that was mind boggling. I saw the list of players, and I will tell you the list of players. This is a long-winded answer. I apologize, but the list of players is a good list. I mean, Malik Beasley is a beast. So, I mean, if you just look at, and I think right now you have to look at things as impartial. I don't think by any stretch of the imagination the Jazz are done. Right. I think, you know, they still have all this collateral. You know, they have three first-round picks next year, so they've got all this collateral. I feel like the Nets really need to do something with KD. The Suns really need to do something to get KD. It's those scenarios where things fall through the cracks. So I think over the next 24, 48 hours, this thing continues. You know, I think this is step one in maybe a two or three phase thing. But at face value, you know, blown away by the number of picks. I love Malik Beasley. You know, I'm not sure if, you know, what Patrick Beverley, how long he'll be, maybe be a part of something. But I love his tenacity. And if you want to start getting better defensively and be able to switch things, that dude's the exhibit A of that. I love Vanderbilt as a young player. And then, you know, as a small ball five almost. And then I think Walker Kessler, you know, it's been noted defensive player of the year in college, blocked 4.6 shots in 25 minutes. Jeez. And on the draft the other night, I had a comp, you know, for every player. And my comp for Walker Kessler was Rudy Gobert as I watched him play. Hmm. His feet, his timing, his understanding of spacing. So interesting, right? It's just the parallel between those two guys. But all that being said, pretty major day.
So with the remaining roster, with these assets the Jazz have picked up, what happens from here? Because it, you know, it feels like there's more to go on. Of the remaining players, do you see other guys moving out? And what other moves may the Jazz actually make?
Well, you know, I think what we've heard, you know, being in and around it the last several months, I guess, you know, I think it was a question as to what direction the Jazz would go. Would they, you know, they start to maybe talk about moving Donovan? Would they move Rudy? Obviously, we've seen the Rudy move now. I think what that says is that I think everybody else is in play. And right now it's about being able to put something together. But I'm telling you, the real big piece of this is just how flexible the Jazz got. The other night they had to sit on their hands, right, at the draft. Yeah. They weren't able to move around. And when teams move around, you see a lot of that capital is first-round picks, second-round picks. The Jazz used a ton of that, you know, in acquiring this roster they have now. So, you know, they had to kind of sit on their hands for that last draft, and I don't think anybody in the room really liked it. And I think everybody understood we've got to figure out a way to get a little bit more flexible to be able to make some moves. So with that being said, they've got collateral now. And I'm telling you, Danny is just absolutely amazing. Ryan Smith said it, but he should be on the Mount Rushmore of NBA executives for all time, because he just – the other part that's crazy is this works out in theory on paper. It's awesome for Minnesota right away. But it just, you know, it changes the direction and the destination. But I'm telling you, it just makes the Jazz they're able to kind of be right in the middle of the game again. And I think that that's what's really exciting.
You know, speaking of Danny Ainge, I mentioned it earlier. He's got to just be like giddy right now with all of the options he has. And for me, you know, as a fan of the Jazz, you're like, okay, they got all these draft picks and they got these players, and you're like, what if they just pick the wrong guys, or what if they trade for the wrong guys, or what if they blow these draft picks? You know, they do stupid things, because you see organizations do dumb things all the time. But then you go, wait a minute, this guy, like, he knows basketball, he knows how to do this, he's done it before, and he knows what's out there as far as what kind of talent is out in the league.
And I don't think stuff scares him either, scale you can blow things up to, yeah, or deals being too big, coach. Like, I don't think Danny's scared by any of that stuff, and I bet this whole front office is learning a thing or two from, you know, one of the masters at work here.
Well, we're only a couple weeks removed from a team that Danny put together. And when I shouldn't say team, an organization, you know, that Danny put together, right, minus a couple of touches. And I said it when he came to the market, you know, when he came to the Jazz originally. The dude won, you know, he's been to the mountaintop as a player. It's so damn hard to win a championship.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it don't matter if it's the Region 6 championship or the state championship or the, you know, then you start talking about the NBA championship, and that dude's done it as a player and as an exec.
Region 6 is kind of soft, but yeah, other than that, I get you.
That actually might be tougher might make it more stacked.
I know. I don't even know what region. That was Region 6 was the old region back in the day. I don't remember. I don't know what region.
Whatever the 6A, that killer one that you had to deal with down there in Lone Peak that everybody knows is still there. Coaches, as you see all this stuff kind of unfolding and you see a weekend like this unfolding and all these trades happening, I think immediately it's hard because we want to see success immediately as a fandom, right? People want to see the Jazz, who've been successful, like the whole stretch of their of this franchise has been a playoff team, save just a handful of years. But there is also this part that you go, you know what, they get immediately – they're immediately not better, right, with Rudy Gobert walking away. And so I think the question of rebuild or retool versus being able to be successful right off the bat, what should a Jazz fan expect, even if they keep Donovan Mitchell and maybe they move a few other pieces around? Is this a playoff team next year, or do we wait a couple more years for things to really kind of roll out?
Well, I think we need to wait a couple of days in order to say, you know, But I will tell you, basically, if you look at it at face value right now, and obviously they've got, you know, a big hole to fill in the middle. But in effect, right now, you know, if you take Royce O'Neal out of the starting lineup and you throw Malik Beasley in, I would call that a major upgrade. And I liked Royce. I liked Royce's story. I felt like Royce became less of what made Royce good over the last couple of years. You know, he was indecisive a little bit offensively, and then defensively I felt like, you know, what made him great was the effort, and I just felt like he kind of started to lose a little bit of that. And so Beasley's going to bring a little bit more pop and punch on the offensive side, but like I say, I still believe, like, there's some things still yet to be put together. I don't doubt that with Mitchell, you know, Beasley, a couple of these pieces, the West is going to be really, really hard, but I think they can get into a scenario where they're in the playoffs. You know, I think, you know, simply, I'll throw this out there, and I don't know, but like I said, Phoenix and Brooklyn are so hell-bent on making a deal, right? And both those guys, you know, both sides really want to do it. So, you know, does Ayton kind of become an afterthought here? And hey, and just for the ease of being able to move him, can the Jazz perhaps pick him up for a sign and trade, you know, and move perhaps a piece or some of that collateral? And now all of a sudden you say, okay, now the Jazz are, you know, Ayton in the middle. So, I mean, that's where this thing could go. I think there's just a lot of things at play. You know, a lot of things that still have to be done. But I think a team like that, they could get in the playoffs for sure.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You have this new coach, Will Hardy. How much input do you think he's had on kind of what's happened here? And has that been part of the strategy, or is he just a guy wide open and his eyes are wide and he's go, okay, this was kind of a big deal? How much of an input do you think he's had in all this?
No, it's certainly been, you know, there's been a plan in place, and I doubt that. You know, when things kind of got kicked off and this all got decided, you know, I was thinking maybe two pieces and a pick or two, you know, would be probably beneficial. But there's no doubt that there had to have been some discussion. You know, the style of play is really going to be important, how the Jazz want to play. They have been traditionally switch perimeter, either a hard show or a drop coverage, depending on who you're playing out on the perimeter. So really, even down to the detail of fundamentally deciding how you're going to play, that's going to be a big part of personnel. And in order to, you know, feel comfortable, as Will Hardy obviously had to have had a pretty good feeling, at least in a direction the Jazz were going to move.
Tim Lacombe, coach, this has been a wild day out. When you talk about, and again, like we've all been saying too, like we sort of qualify every time we reset with what the moves that have been made already, that there is going to be, you know, additional moves, obviously, that we're kind of like, you know, Danny Ainge ain't done yet. But out are the names.
No, he just got some stuff to play with, right?
Right now, he's
delivered from Amazon.
Right. I just said his 401k started going up while the rest of ours is going down. But see, the savings account is rich here. Gobert, O'Neal, House, Wancho, Trent Forrest, Eric Paschal gone in just the last 24 hours, if this all goes through. But coming to the Jazz, their first four-round picks from the Timberwolves, Malik Beasley, Pat Beverly, Jared Vanderbilt, Leandro Balmaro, and Walker Kessler. So nine assets coming back after a day of you seeing six walk out the door for the Jazz, and certainly it's been a wild one. But as you watch this thing all unfold and you've seen the Jazz make moves over the years, and we've talked about how historic this type of a move with Gobert moving is, what do you think overall his history is going to be with this Jazz team? Do the Raptors have a 27 up there at some point in the next decade, or what's his history with the team going to be like when all is said and done?
Well, I'll say this. I had one personal interaction with Rudy. I came on right about the time COVID came on, so didn't get a lot of time like in the past where you'd be able to go perhaps into some sessions. Everything was kind of done virtually, but had an opportunity to visit with him. I will say that the interaction was about as authentic and real and cool, just a terrific person. So I think you couple the way that he's, conducted himself and the difference he's made here in the community and the story that is Rudy Gobert. I mean, I think he's kind of a Utah story, almost like one of these seed startup tech companies that nobody believed in. And at the end of the day, we saw what he's worth today. If he's worth that much, that's quite a legacy being taken 27th. A lot of teams passed on him. But like I said, it's his attitude. He really is a classy individual, one that I believe that his jersey will hang from the rafters, because I think that's the type of guy Ryan Smith is too. You definitely acknowledge when somebody helps you push something forward, and Rudy Gobert certainly did that.
Right.
So I'm curious about all these draft choices, and definitely Rudy Gobert is a guy. I mean, he's maximized his opportunity, and he became a very unique and well-respected player in the NBA, no question about it. But these draft picks, I keep going over all these assets. You talk about Danny Ainge. What would you do, Tim? Are there players out there that Jazz could complement their roster with right now with some of these draft picks? Would you hold on to the picks and kind of see maybe you build some players through the draft, or how would you handle having these assets?
Well, I think it's almost like playing a nice game of poker, and right now you've got a dang good hand, I think the key when you have a really good hand is patience. And I don't know if there's anybody that has shown their ability to allow that patience to mature into really good things more than Danny has. So I think it's awesome that the Jazz got really flexible today, but it's now, what you're right, Scott, what do you do with these moves? And I think you look for opportunities like today where there's desperate teams that got to do stuff and they need somebody else. They need a trade partner to show some things around. That's where Danny is so great at understanding how this all works. But I think really the word is patience. And I think that from an organizational standpoint, from a fan, standpoint, I think it might do this team some good in a way to kind of have the contender tag taken off for a minute while they retool. I really do believe at the end of the day, and the truth of the matter is, if you ain't first, you're last, right? Like nobody, we're excited the Celtics got to the finals, but bottom line is they lost, and everybody's going to talk about the Warriors winning it. So you're either first or you're 30th. So the Jazz are trying to figure out a way to be first. And this is, like I said, it's like draft was a little process number one. That came and went, nothing happened. Yesterday we see this little inkling, and that's when I saw Royce move yesterday. and they got a first round draft pick back. I said something like, there's some good things going down right now, because that was a pretty nice, like that was probably Brooklyn right there starting to figure out how they got to move things around. But the Jazz take advantage of it. They get a first round pick, which ends up, now they've got a first round pick and they also get a starter back in that spot in Malik Beasley. So again, patience. I think patience is the key word.
Tim Lacombe, you can hear him, of course, on these airwaves quite often, because we dip into the knowledge well that is Coach Tim Lacombe. Pre-half and post on the Utah Jazz Radio Network, usually with Jake Scott. And we've just appreciated it, Coach, because on a day like today, being able to kind of venture through all of this together. It's wild, and we're excited for it. I'm here for all of it. I want all of it. And yet, at the same time, quite an interesting day. So thanks for being on with us in such short notice as well.
Yeah, you bet. You guys have a great weekend, and my prayer is everything kind of happens sooner so it doesn't foul up your fourth.
Oh, but, listen. You know,
I'm happy to work on fourth.
I'll be nonetheless, so I guess, nonetheless, you're not really working, right? You're
just playing. It's exactly right. We're hanging out talking about sports, bro. This is hard work,
Tim. We've all worked before, and what this is, this is just shooting the
ball,
baby.
That ain't it, baby.
All right.
Thank you, Coach. Thanks. Appreciate it. We're taking the break here. Man, wild day. Rudy Gobert out the door to the Minnesota Timberwolves for four first-round picks. What's funny to me is watching people just absolutely incensed by the move that the Jazz have made. Like, I can't believe they're not showing Rudy the loyalty, you know. And that is a weird thing, though, too, Scott, because you go, are we talking about loyalty? Are we talking about business here? Because the reality is his loyalty doesn't pay the bills. Loyalty doesn't necessarily even bring you a championship, and that's the part that people, I don't know. Do you feel like anybody's ever owed anything in the professional sports business? Like, hey, you showed us loyalty, and now we're going to show it back to you. This is not not you working at the city, you know, water department when you've been in the career for 40 years.
So the challenge is your assets are players, right? And players have a shelf life. I mean, they eventually, you can't play anymore. And when you can't play anymore, there's no value. And so, a team tries to kind of balance out that, keep you here, get the best value out of a player while they're here, but realizing, you know, that there's a time that you're going to have to move on. Some of the greatest organizations in sports got rid of players.
Right.
I mean, the 49ers, back when they were winning, they got rid of players who were still in their prime, and it's just a tough part of the business.
It's 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.